Welcome to Torati Mechahav Torah with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Sarah Malka Winter, and today we study the Haftorah of Parshas Bishalach from Sefer Shoftim Perek Dalet, Pasuk Aleph, through Perek He, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, chapter 4, verse 1 through chapter 5, verse 31. I am excited to delve into the magnificent story of Devorah HaNeviah. Her leadership, her inspiration, the miraculous victory, the courageous Yael, and of course, the beautiful Shiras Devorah, the Song of Devorah. These chapters are so rich with meaning that condensing them into a 15-minute podcast feels daunting, but here goes. I'd like to focus on the key figures in this parak, Devorah, Barak, Yael, her husband Chever HaKeni, the state of the people under Devorah's leadership, and even some of the Shvatim, the tribes that she singles out in her Shira, some for praise and others for critique. Is there a common thread that connects them all? Devorah was certainly unique, both as a woman, Shofetes, a leader, and as a prophetess, the Neviah. While we have recorded prophecies from 48 male prophets, only 7 prophetesses are listed in Tanakh. And Devorah's Shira, her song, was so profound that it became one of the 10 songs in history that reached the exalted level of a prophetic Shira. So who was Devorah? And how did she become such a successful leader? The Pasuk tells us that she sat under a palm tree. Chazal explain in the Medrash that this imagery carries deep significance. Just as a palm tree provides very little shade, Devorah began her tenure at one of the lowest points in Jewish history. There was very little Torah, very little scholarship, very little greatness. The era of the Shoftim in general was one of the most disappointing times in our history. After the high of entering Eretz Yisrael, living the dream of settling the Holy Land, things quickly deteriorated. The people became distracted, complacent, and self-absorbed. Slowly, they began imitating their Canaanite neighbors, adopting their idol-worshipping ways, and thus began the Shoftim cycle, a relentless cycle of failure, like a hamster on a wheel. At first, the people would sin, and they would suffer oppression. They would then cry out to Hashem. Hashem would send a miraculous salvation, but all too soon, sometimes even before their leader had passed away, they would revert to their old habits. Over time, the troubles they faced no longer even served as deterrents. The people had become demoralized, trapped in a state of learned helplessness, struggling to believe that real change was possible. Enter Devorah. As the Gemara Megillah tells us, the Tamar, the palm tree, is also a metaphor for what Devorah accomplished. Just as a palm tree has only one central trunk, Devorah unified Am Yisrael, restoring them to serve Hashem with one heart. She broke the cycle. She led the Jewish people to a level of true teshuvah, not just temporary regret, but a deep, transformative return. And although the nation eventually stumbled again, it was different this time. They had climbed out of their pit and experienced what true commitment looks like. How did she do it? One clue is perhaps her relationship with her husband. We are introduced to Devorah as Eshes Lapidos, the wife of Lapidos. Chazal tell us that Lapidos was an Am Haaretz, an unlearned man, unable to achieve greatness through Torah study. But Devorah saw potential. She encouraged him to find another way to shine. Devorah prepared wicks and enlisted her husband in bringing these wicks to the Mishkan. Devorah hoped that by immersing himself in Kedusha, holiness, and surrounded by Kohanim and inspiration, he too would be uplifted. Through this meaningful contribution, he found his own connection to greatness. And later, in her conversations with Barak, who was chosen to be the general of this war, we see a similar tone and dynamic. He is hesitant, uncertain, afraid. And once again, Devorah takes on the role of a nurturer and encourager, gently but firmly prodding him towards courage, success, and ultimately greatness. And it was a journey, and he pushed back, asking for more reassurance, more hand-holding. He says, "I will go, but only if you come with me." Yet, Devorah does not give up. She walks with him through his fear. And then, at the pivotal moment, when hesitation could have led to failure, she delivers the final push. In verse 14, "Vatomer Devorah el Barak, kum, ki zeh hayom asher nasan Hashem esisra biyadecha, halo Hashem yatsa lefanecha. Vayered Barak mehar tavor, va'aseres alafim ish acharav." She says, Devorah says to Barak, "Get up, because this is the day that Hashem has given Sisera in your hands. Hasn't Hashem gone out before you?" And so Barak goes down from Har Tavar, and 10,000 people walking behind him. In the song in chapter 5, Devorah is called an Aim B'Yisrael, a mother in Israel. What is a mother? As a mother nurtures the fragile and precarious potential of life, believing in that possibility that with the right care and support, physical, emotional, and spiritual, that this tiny cell will grow, will develop into a functional and even powerful human being. In a sense, when the Pasuk says, "Udevora isha nevia eshes lapidus, he shafta es Yisrael be'ez hahi," that Devorah, the woman prophetess, the wife of Lapidus, she judged Yisrael at that time. What the nation needed at that time was a mother, someone who believed in them, someone who could teach them to believe in themselves once more. If we don't believe in the inherent godliness and greatness that is within, it becomes almost impossible to believe in God. So when Devorah restored us to ourselves, she also restored us to Hashem. Devorah's story is more than just history. It is a blueprint for leadership and faith. When a generation feels stuck, when people have lost faith in themselves, when they are caught in cycles of helplessness, what they need most is someone to believe in them. Devorah taught us that leadership is not about commanding, it's about inspiring. It's about seeing potential, igniting passion, and showing others what they are capable of becoming. She didn't just judge B'nai Yisrael, she mothered them back to faith. But there is another dimension in the story of Devorah. Believing in someone else, truly believing in them, requires something more. It's not just about seeing their potential. It's about caring enough to invest in their growth. To do that, we must move away from ourselves, put aside our own egos, our own fears, our own need to control. We need to love deeply enough to make space for someone else's success, to nurture their greatness as if it were our own. A mother does not just believe in her child, she quite literally makes room for them within herself. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually, she creates a space where another person can grow. This was Devorah's gift. She did not seek power for herself. She did not command from a place of dominance. She made room for Lapidus, for Barak, for the entire nation to step into their own greatness. And perhaps this is why she is called an Aim B'Yisrael, a mother in Israel. Because what Am Yisrael needed at this time, not just a judge or a prophetess, but a mother, someone to see them, believe in them, and make space for them to become who they were meant to be. This theme of stepping up to fulfill another's dream appears again in the fascinating and dramatic twist that is the role that Yael played in the story. Yael, who was the wife of Chever HaKeni. Who was this Chever HaKeni? Why, in the middle of a war, did he choose to leave his safe settlement in the south and move quite literally into the battlefield. As it says, the Hever HaKeni separated from Cain from the children of Chovav, the father-in-law of Moshe, and pitched his tent towards a lone in Sananim that was near Kadesh. These psukim give us some context. The family of Cani, a family of converts, had an old alliance with Canaan. Thus, Abarbanel explains, Chever was in a unique position to play a pivotal role in saving the Jewish people from this dangerous enemy. And Chever was up for the task. Maybe the general Sisera would stumble into his tent and he would be able to rescue the Jews from this mass murderer. Ironically, although this was exactly what happened, when Sisera actually did arrive at the tent, Chever HaKeni was not home. But Yael, his wife, knowing her husband's dream, stepped into action and bravely and courageously killed Sisera. And when Chazal praise Yael, they do not praise only her courage, her quick thinking, her love of the Jewish people that must have inspired this act. They understood that this was also an act of love of a wife who knew her husband's dream and when given the chance, made it come true. And when this miraculous story ends, it culminates in Shira. What is a Shira? What is a song? It is the expression of the deep sense that what just occurred is so much larger than me that it cannot be contained in me. It must come out. True Shira emerges from a place of humility where the singer dissolves their ego in the overwhelming presence of divine truth of Hashem. In this song, Devorah actually draws attention to the tribes who risked everything in this war to help their brothers. And she speaks very harshly to those tribes who selfishly stayed away from danger. An egocentric will never sing. It is only when you strip away the ego and see the whole, that's when true Shira can emerge. It is an invitation to transcend the self and experience the divine order of all things. So that is the song of Devorah, a song of humility, transcendence, awe, and a deep yearning to connect to the service of Hashem. And of course, this week is Shabbos Shira. The song in our Parsha, Az Yashir, as well, wasn't simply a reaction to the Jewish nation's personal deliverance, but rather an experience of deep alignment with the deep rhythm of the world. The words resonate with awe and reverence, a transcendent clarity in which all opposing forces dissolved. It's like they tapped into a divine symphony where everything that felt chaotic or fragmented in the world came together in harmony, and they were witnessing it, hearing it in that very moment. And then this Shira took them somewhere even deeper, deeper into their own experiences, their own lives, their own traumas and suffering. And through the harmony of their Shira, they found that the divine presence wasn't just out there in the parting of the sea or the grand cosmic order. It was woven into their very lives, even the painful parts. The beauty of this Shira is that it did not just stop at awe for what happened externally. It became a way for the Jewish people to process, heal, and transform their own histories and personal struggles. Through the harmony of the song, they found a way to integrate their past traumas, the years of slavery, the suffering they endured, into a larger, more sacred story. The song was not just a celebration of the moment, but a bridge that connected their collective history, their personal pain, and their newfound redemption. It allowed them to step into a deeper understanding of themselves and their relationship with the divine. And so, as we read this powerful Parsha and Haftorah, we think about Devorah, we think about Yael, we think about Miriam Hanaviah, we think about Jewish women all through millennia, giving, empowering, encouraging, surviving, living, and loving, weaving traumas and pain into beauty, and always through it all, singing. Thank you for learning together.